Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son for you and me. Sure. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Amen. That's why we're here this morning. It's because you love him. And he laid his life down for us, so that we, as his children, could spend all eternity with our Father. And he is a good, good Father. And he cares for us. And he loves us. Sorry. It was hard work bending down there. Trying to get that. I was reminded last night just about that scripture in Acts. And it's in Acts 12 where Peter and them were in jail. And the Lord just showed me that about 3-4 weeks ago, and we've shared it with you, yeah, before in the pulpit. And it was when they were asleep in prison. And suddenly there was a light in the prison. And this angel tapped them and said to them, "Wake up, arise, dress yourself, put in your sandals, wrap yourself with your cloak, and follow me." And they did exactly that, and the angel led them out. And with that, just last night, I was in the room, and Lenny was in the lounge, and I just went through to the lounge, and I said, "You know what, I just had this thing, and God just showed me something." And in years gone by, the church bells, and I shared it on the C-Way group, the church bells used to ring early in the morning. Yeah. And why did they ring early in the morning? Yes, it was a call to call the church together to worship, together as the body of Christ, as his family. And why is the Lord showing this to us right now? I believe that time is short. And you don't want to be caught napping. You don't want to be caught that you're fast asleep. And God starts moving amongst these people. And you miss out because you're sleeping. I'm speaking to myself there. Yeah. Yeah, they often say that the Lord speaks first. Yeah. And then often what we share is something that God has spoken to us about and is dealing with us. Amen. But God is good, and I'm really excited for the times and the seasons that we are going into. And I know for many of us it's been tough, and we've gone through a lot, but we keep our eyes on Jesus. And as we keep our eyes on Jesus, and as we follow him, when we look back, you're going to look back in awe, and you're going to think, "How did I get through that? How did I pass all of that?" It's because we kept our eyes on the Lord. Yeah. And that's the key in all of this. So we've been talking about the Philippian church, and we've been going through the scriptures in the book of Philippians. And this morning it's Philippians 3, verses 1 to 6. If you all got your Bibles, if we could turn there. Philippians 3, verses 1 to 6. And my message for us this morning is, who or what is stealing your joy? Is the mic okay? Does it sound okay? It's not too loud? It's a great. Okay, awesome. Who or what is stealing your joy? Sure. And this is an area that Paul was trying to deal with the Philippian church, because there were things that had come into the church and into the body of Christ. And through that, Satan was trying to steal their joy. So we're going to start off in verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Sure. So I'm going to go right back to verse 1. And where he says, finally. And Paul repeats himself a lot through the book of Philippians. And he keeps going often through the same things. And he's coming here again. He says, okay. I'm not going to go through, but I'm telling you, finally, I just want to share this last thing with you. I want to share this last thing with you. And why did he say that? Because of what he was talking about, and what he wanted to tell us was of great importance. And it was a serious matter. It was a very serious matter, and something that we take for, for granted, maybe. And often we just allow the devil to come and steal it. But you'll realize the value of it in a moment. The Word of God says that in 1 Peter 5, 8, that Satan walks around like a, could somebody answer me? Like a roaring lion, to do what? To rob, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. From who? From us, yeah. Because he doesn't want us to walk in victory with our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us following Jesus. So he will come with every opportunity that he has to rob and steal this one thing from us. Rejoice in the Lord. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. So he will use situations, he will use things, he will use people, those at his disposal, to come and rob from us. In the Philippian church, Paul was warning them. He was warning them, be careful, that the enemy is coming and he's trying to steal from you, he's trying to rob your joy from you. So I want to ask you this morning, as with the Philippian church, has your joy started to leak out? Are you leaking joy? Yeah? You know, when a tin can gets damaged, or a watering can, when you put water in it, by the time you get to the place where when you want to water those plants, it's half empty because half of it's leaked out. It's missing. Yeah? If you have no joy, there is a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Somewhere there's a leak, you've sprung a leak. So what can cause this? What challenges our joy? And I've just put down a few, yeah, but there are just so many more. I believe it's work, can be work. It can be sickness, circumstances. People can, yeah, people can. Sin, doubt, and pain. Those are just some areas that I've touched on this morning. Now let's look at this from a different angle, from a different way or perspective. If those things steal our joy, this is something different. If those things steal, or if they've stolen your joy, so if you steal something, if it's been stolen, what happens? It's not there anymore. It's gone. No? It's gone. Can't find it. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to come and steal it. He wants to come and steal it. He wants to take it away from you. I want to go back to Paul, because Paul wrote the book of Philippians. And he was a man that went through a lot. If we just read what he went through in the Bible. Because he wrote the book of Philippians, he has every reason not to be joyful. Yeah, he has every reason to moan and to complain and to be bitter because of what the people did to him. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11. And we're going to be reading from verse 24. These are just a few things that Paul went through. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Sure. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The Lord God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Artus was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through the window in the wall and escaped his hands. Sure. So just reading that. Paul went through a lot. And he had every opportunity to complain, to grumble, and to moan. But he didn't. His response was the exact opposite. And again, writing from jail, he's trying to encourage and exhort the body of Christ. So let me ask you today, how are you doing? We just heard what Paul went through. I'm asking you, how are you doing? Paul was trusting in Jesus, so could not help but be joyful because his trust was in Jesus. Yeah, not in his own strength. If it was in Paul himself, I believe he would have faltered and fallen a long time ago with all those things that he went through. Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 16. I hope you all got your Bibles with you this morning. Philippians 2, verse 16. Holding fast to the word of life. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be poured out, so that I may be proud, that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always again. I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Something interesting. The word joy is mentioned 14 times in the book of Philippians. 14 times, that's a lot for a book that has so little chapters in it. It's a short book, but it's got joy mentioned 14 times. Why? It's because their joy was being threatened and Satan was trying to steal it, as the word of God says in 1 Peter 5, 8. So let's see, what will stop us leaking our joy? What will stop us from leaking our joy? I believe it's about what's going on inside of you, not around you. So if I say what's going on inside of you, we should be meditating on God's word and spending time in worship with him. And when I'm doing that, that should be what's going on inside of me and not what I can see with my natural eye, all the things that are happening that are going on around me. If I'm doing that, if I'm stepping aside from worshiping and spending time in God's word, immediately Satan's going to come. He's going to see, okay, there's an open door. And he's going to come and he's going to slip and slide in and he's going to start stealing your joy. I believe also it's a choice that you need to make. It's something that's learned. We must make joy our outlook. We need to make joy our outlook. So we all know this. If I spend time with somebody, if I spend a week with somebody that's very negative, I guarantee you, by the following week, yeah, you're going to be negative. You're going to be repeating and doing the same things that El Negato has been doing. Yeah. And God doesn't want that. We can't walk a walk with Jesus allowing these things to come in and to strip us of something that's so valuable in our walk with him. When I'm communing with Jesus, when I'm spending time with him, something amazing begins to happen. I begin to exude his character. Yeah. So when I'm spending time with Jesus and I'm in his presence, like I'm walking with him, like the disciples did, I begin to exude his character. Like with when you spend time with a negative person, you become negative because that thing is washing over you. In 1 Samuel, I wanted to find an example in the Bible of where someone had to encourage themselves in the Lord because of what they were going through. And in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, it says that David had to encourage himself in the Lord. He was going through things. and he was facing a tough time. And he got to the place where he realized that those things, the situations and circumstances that he was going through, Satan was coming along and he was stealing from him and he was robbing him of his joy. So he had to come back to that place again. We had to encourage himself in the Lord. And that reminds us of Paul. Paul encouraged himself in the Lord all the time. That's why he keeps saying, rejoice in the Lord, not in people. Your joy is not going to come from people, and it ain't going to come from things. We try and flood ourselves with things. It's a temporary thing. When you look again, you back down there again. Joy is a product of your relationship with God. Nothing else can produce the joy we need. There's a special kind of joy that the child of God needs, that a Christian needs. And we cannot get it from people or things. Why do I say that? If you go back to the book of Galatians, what does the word say? What is joy? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that comes from the Spirit. It's a fruit. Joy is tied to God, to His glory. I know John Piper has got a nice saying. And he says, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. I love that. Yeah. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. So if we look at that again, joy is part of His character. Yeah. So if we lose our joy, so this is a question I want to ask you this morning. If we lose our joy, do we lose our strength? So if Satan comes along and he robs us of our joy, will I lose my strength? Did you hear somebody say, yeah? You know, not sure. Okay, let's turn to Psalms 51 verse 12. So this is David. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Let's go to Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For the day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And do not be grieved for, what does the word say? The joy of the Lord is whose strength? Mine, yours, yeah, mine, all of us. Joy is our strength. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So that by what? The power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So if we look at that again, if we look at joy again, Joy is not an upbeat feeling. It's not power of positive thinking. Yeah? It's not power of positive thinking. Joy is not being happy because life is going my way. Wow, things are going so well. That's not the joy that we're talking about this morning. Jesus says, it's my joy in you and in me. It's his joy in us. Joy is the emotion of salvation, knowing, loving, and trusting Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Knowing, loving, and trusting Jesus. So when, I don't know if, maybe there are many here that won't know, or you don't remember, or you've never seen or heard it, but when Bradley was a tot, so we never had CDs in our cars those days. It was all cassettes. We had these tapes that you had to put in there. And I can remember one that we played specifically over and over again was Salty, the Singing Songbook. Who can remember that? Yeah, like, yeah, many of us. Salty, the Singing Songbook. And whenever we got in the car, that's all we played. So I think Lynn and I got more out of that than Brad did. Because 5K's down the road, he was fast asleep, but Salty was running on in the car. And I went to sleep through the week with this song in my head, and I just couldn't get it out. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. And if you keep singing that, it says, down in my heart to stay. Yeah, to stay. When it's in there, we don't take it out and put it in the cupboard and we put it in there the next morning. It's something that stays there, lives there, and keeps us vibrant and alive in Him. Okay, let's go back to Philippians. Philippians 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for evil doers. Look out for those who are there to mutilate the flesh. Sure. So what Paul is talking about and what you're talking about this morning, it's not about your dog Rufus or your Jack Russell Spotty. But Paul calls them dogs. Because this is coming to the Philippian church to devour, to destroy, and to rob. It was a warning against false teachers. And who were these false teachers that were coming against the Philippians, that had infiltrated the Philippian church? Who were they? They were the Judaizers. Jewish Christian Judaizers. What does Judaism mean? And I just put a bit of a meaning to it. As to adopt, to bring in customs or beliefs, or to go back and make Jewish. What they wanted or what they were pushing for was a combination of God's grace and human effort. This is actually what they wanted. A combination of God's grace and human effort. They were trying to teach the people that to be right with God, you needed to mix grace with the law. And we know that that's not true. That's not right. Let's go to the book of Acts 15, verse 1. Let's see what the word says. Are you all awake? Let's check and see if nobody's asleep here this morning. No chance. Yeah, I can see you. Acts 15, verse 1. But some men came down from Judea, and they were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Yuck, yeah. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. So these were the Judaizers. So if you read further on in Acts, you see that Paul confronts them. He begins to confront them. And he gets serious with them. They were pushing teaching that needed to come under the laws of the Torah to be right with God. They were what? They were legalists. Where you have to earn your way. So what they were saying is the work of Jesus was not enough. The work of Jesus was not enough. Not saved by grace, the work of the cross, won't get you to God. What they were pushing and what had infiltrated the church, what they were trying to teach the people, false circumcision, it's not of the flesh. It's not of the flesh. It's not a fleshly thing. We all know that it's a circumcision of the heart. Yeah. It's a circumcision of the heart. And the church had been taught that. And they were walking that line. And these people came in. And they were teaching legalism and false circumcision. And they were trying to get them back to where they were. And that's why Paul was so stern with them when he came against them. And that's why he kept warning the church where this thing is coming to rob them of the joy and to bring them back to legalism and to works of the flesh. Let's have a look at verse 3 in Philippians. Let's go back to Philippians 3. And let's look at verse 3. For we are the circumcision of worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Put no what? Confidence in the flesh. So when I looked at this, I believe that there are only two religions in the world. Oh, that's got your attention. I saw this. I believe there are only two religions in the world. One is based on human achievement. And if you look at all of them, they're based on human achievement, on works. On works of self and works of the flesh, human achievement. And then there's the second. It's divine accomplishment. What Jesus did for us, for me and for you. Let's turn to the book of Acts 15. Acts 15, 10 to 11. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples? that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. So they had come along and they were trying to yoke them again. And that's what Satan does. He comes and he yokes you. And what will that yoke eventually do? This thing becomes burdensome and it becomes tiresome and it begins to rob you of all your strength and of all your joy. Matthew 11, verse 29. What does the word of God say? What is Jesus saying to us? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So it's about spiritual circumcision. It's an inward circumcision of the heart. It's not an outward circumcision of the flesh. So what is verse 3 saying to us in Philippians that we just read? What is verse 3 saying to us? I believe what that word says is that we have a Savior in our hearts and we worship in spirit and in truth. My question to you this morning, do you worship and is it real? Do you worship? And is it real? Is it real worship that will bring you joy? A joy that only Jesus can give to us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. I'm going to read up to 21. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'd like us to go back to Philippians 3. And I'm going to read again from 4 through to 6. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. Verse 6. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. So this was a guy that followed the law to the letter. He followed it wholeheartedly. And before his BC days, he persecuted the church. He persecuted the church. And he was hectic with the church. Really, really bad. I'd like to read to you Acts 8, verse 1 to 3. And Saul this was Saul before he became Paul. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Because they were following Jesus. And they'd rejected and turned away from the law, from legalism. And then Jesus meets him on the road. And his life changed and his life turns around. So Paul at first hand, he knew exactly what these people were up to. They couldn't tell him anything. And that's why he knew this was all nonsense. And they were trying to bring this old stuff into the body again. And he was warning the people and telling them, please be careful. This thing will rob you. It will destroy you. And in many ways, this is playing out today. It's playing out today. Where a lot of people are going back to old ways and to old things and to rituals and the things of the flesh. Where the Lord clearly talks about it as a circumcision of the heart. As with the book of Philippians and the Philippian church, there are many things going around us today that are trying to draw us away from our relationship with Jesus. And what this book, what Paul is saying to us this morning, family of God, be alert, watch, and pray. Don't let Satan steal from you. Do not turn back to where you were. Do not let Satan steal from you. There's a lot going on out there. A lot of pressure. Paul talks about in Acts, the anxiety that he felt. There's a lot going on. And the moment we open that door to the devil, the moment we open to that door to Satan, what's he going to do? He's not going to say, oh, shame. He's going through a hard time. Let's leave him alone. Let him recover. Let him recoup. No, no ways. The moment we open up for him, bam. He's in there. And you'll plunder and you'll cause havoc in your life. So be encouraged, church. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Trials, temptations, hardships, all those things are going to come our way. But we manifest Christ in us. A joy that can only come from Him. Amen. Amen. Could I have the worship team up on the platform? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I believe with all my heart that the church is coming into a place of seriousness with our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we need to be serious with him. And we're no longer in a place, we can no longer afford to have one leg in the world and one with Jesus. And we're trying to walk this walk. I believe with all my heart that he's about to pour his spirit out upon the church like never before. And I know it's been spoken of many, many times, and there's been a lot of prophetic words concerning that. I believe that we're on the edge of an outpouring of God's Spirit upon the church. There's a broken world out there. There's a lost world out there. And the only thing that's going to draw them is Jesus in you. The power and demonstration of spirit life in you. Yeah. They're going to want to see something, and they want to see something different in you, in me, in us. And what is that difference? It's something that the world doesn't have. And we're the only ones that can take it and can give it to them. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this morning that from today, that your walk with Jesus would be 100%. I know we're going to fall and we're going to falter. But that it would be 100%, that you'd keep your eyes on him. And when your eyes on him, when we fall and when we get up and we continue running, the Lord heals and restores. Because there's a great work ahead of each and every one of us here this morning. It's not for the one or for the two, but it's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for all of us. So church, can I ask you this morning? We're going to sing one song, but before we sing that one song, I would like us all to stand and to pray this morning. Can we do that? To thank him, to praise him, and to worship him. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. And we know, Father, that our walk in you is not of a fleshly nature, but we are a people that worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray your manifest presence in this place today. Your manifest presence in this place today. Father, that you would revive, that you'd restore, that you'd make whole again. Thank Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that in this place, and even those that are watching on YouTube this morning, that every chain is falling, that every shackle is being loosed. That every gate is opening, and that the doors that were locked, Father John, unlocking those. As with Peter, when the angel walked in and there was a suddenly and there was a freedom to walk out, Father, I thank you for that in this place today, for the suddenness of God. For the suddenness of God, for the manifestations, for the manifestations of who you are amongst us, in us and through us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This morning, God gave me a vision of a plate of food on a banqueting table. A portion had been eaten, and the knife and fork were on the plate. Someone had left without finishing the food. And I believe he's saying to one or several here or someone online, you have withdrawn without completing the course set before you. Your heart has become hardened, and you are disenchanted with me and the spiritual family. The spiritual family I've set you in. I weep over you as I did over Jerusalem, and I long to draw you back into the fold. You are wandering and without direction. Repent and return to the feast I have for you. Allow me to seat you in your rightful place and place the table napkin on your lap and encourage you to complete the meal I set before you. There is nothing that will satisfy you outside of me, though you look far and wide. Repent, return, and be restored to the role I have chosen for you. The role that only you can fulfill.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you that maybe where we've turned aside, and we haven't followed through into the things that you've called us to, we ask you this morning to forgive us. We repent now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for restoration, for fullness, and for wholeness, Father, as we fix our eyes on you and as we run the race ordained for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.